to our chat in the garden with Monique AJ says, we're sniffing the blooms here in athletics and sports. Well, welcome to the month of the woman. We here on Chat in the Garden celebrate women 365 days in a year. However, it's an opportunity for us to take what we know are great women in athletic administration to tell the world. So I challenge each of you all to turn your knowledge into power. Go and try to see out of today's the second, so between now and the end of the month, see if you can at least get one speaking engagement, whether it's the PTA, your high school, virtual, go speak the sports management class. That's my challenge to you all. That is my challenge to you all. Because, you know, when we think about celebrating, number one, we're always looking for someone to recognize us. Well, why don't you put yourself out there to say that you would like to celebrate women by sharing your specialized knowledge. That is my challenge to you all, and I will make a formal challenge inside the group. But since you all are listening to the show, really, honestly, and when you schedule that speaking engagement, send me a picture and tell me where you spoke and what was the topic. Yes, we have got to plant the seeds that this is a career that we belong in. So just inbox me or email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info and tell me where you're speaking in March, the month of the woman. So speaking of women supporting women, I just want to give a shout out to Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, the commissioner for the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. She actually called me on a Tuesday and asked me, could I come speak on a Friday? And you know what I did? I dropped everything and I went down to support my sister. And it was fantastic. And I got so I spoke at the women's basketball tournament for her co-champion. I did a leadership workshop. And it was very well received. I even sat in stands with some of the young ladies, and they turned around, and you know when you make impact, when the people repeat the words back to you that you gave them. So I am appreciative of Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes having finding value in season empowerment workshops. And I had a ball. Let me tell you how much a ball I had. And one day, I believe it was 2, 4, 6, 8 games, we had 3 overtimes, okay? That's what how great time, men and women competing. This is the third HBCU conference. No, it can't be third, that'd be 5. CIAA, MEAC, SWAC, SAAC. Yeah, the 5th HBCU conference, and it happened to be in the NAIA. So that was my first time being at their conference. And I'm telling you, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it, and they had, oh, my goodness. This is kind of sad. I already told you had great basketball. But let me tell you. Now, I was in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas. And Philander Smith was the host, had never been to that campus. I had been to Pine Bluff before, but had not been to that campus. And so I told you the basketball was good. But did I tell you the food was good? Oh, my God. The VIP section? Oh, my goodness. I was about to leave to go to a restaurant to eat, and Kiki says, oh, hold on. How about up to the VIP, the real food? I said, oh, my goodness. Look, able to eat fish, popcorn is my favorite. Coleslaw. I shouldn't be doing this to make me hungry. And watch some good basketball. Can you beat that? So, yes, thank you to my sister for thinking of me in her time of need. And I really do believe I planted some seeds that will help her in leading that conference. So excited about that. And honestly, got to mention this part. So beyond Dr. Kiki Baker Barnes, Z Butler, who has been on the podcast, I think it was last month. And here's the funny thing. I thought her company is called The Ball Code. And I've been telling y'all she wrote a book called The Ball Code. No, the company is called The Ball Code. But her book is 25 ways for the college, for the high school kid to be get ready for college student athlete. And I'll get it right by next week. But it tickled me because that's what I've been telling everybody. But, you know, here's what I love. When I travel, I love to be able to connect with members of the garden. So, Ms. Butler, Z Butler came to pick me up from the airport, and we hung out for 2 days. And I got a chance to again, correct my error. I did not know the book was not called The Ball Code. And she came to help me with my presentation. She was handing out things. And so I had the real book in my hand, and I was able to promote the book to my new friends in the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference. And the exciting part is that her and Kiki became we were able to get connected. And that's what I love. I love connecting like-minded people. I say vines and minds connected, you can grow together. So, yes, I had a fantastic week. I left on Thursday, got back on Saturday, and yes, I'm still smiling over here. Speaking of women commissioners, shout out to Sonya Steele of the MEAC conference. I sat in on her women's conference yesterday, and it was great. It was fantastic. And you know me, I took some notes. And the one thing that Sonya Steele said, which I believe in, find your hype song to get you right and ready. And usually my hype songs are anything by Mary Mary. Yeah, anything by Mary Mary. I think the song Go Get It, I often play that before I speak. And so Sonya Steele's mentioned the song, which I need to go listen to. It's Lizzo, When I Am Shining, Everybody's Going to Shine. Now, and that is Sonya Steele's, and I would like to say I feel the same way. And another one of my good girlfriends and sponsor, I mean, seriously, you know, give me checks to support the Chat in the Garden, is Dee Dee Merritt of the NCAA. When I call on her to help sponsor the reception every year, she says, "What I got, you got." I mean, when I tell you, I got some good friends, I got some good friends. And so I wrote down two quotes that she said. She said, they were talking about, COVID and the transition and the mental health, and honestly, the great resign that's happened. And she said, we need to remove the stigma of remote work. remove the stigma of remote working. I thought that was fabulous because, you know, before COVID, you know, people were frowned upon if you wanted to stay at home. They thought that you couldn't get anything done. Well, COVID showed that we can be productive. And honestly, you know, it's removing the stigma of remote work, and it's all about trust, too. You know, when you got people that you treat them well, they're going to make sure you continue to look good, no matter where they are. When I do this workshop called Spirit of the Beaver, which is you give people autonomy, but you got to give them parameters, and you let them work as they see fit. But the most important thing is having great communication when you give workers autonomy. And that means a deadline, a check-in date, and trust. But the person who has been given the trust must have great communication. If I'm not able to do so, that you're able to pass it on to someone so they can carry out your task. Delegation is delegation. And look, let me put these two together. Delegation and perfection do not go together. Yes, delegation and perfection do not go together. They're not married at all. Because when you delegate, you say what is the task you want to carry it out. But you do not. You cannot be married to the process of them carrying it out. That means you lose the autonomy of giving it to the person that you gave it to. And there's no trust. So, if that piqued your interest, if you think you got interest, have some interesting areas you want to debate about that, or you think you got some issues with that, hey, you need to have a strategy session with me because guess what? You cannot move up if you don't have anybody under you. And you can't have anybody under you if you can't delegate. And you can't delegate if you got perfection issues. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. And so that's what I got from Dee Dee Merritt when she says remove the stigma of remote work. And that just sent me down that thought process because you got to have some trust in order to do that. And the other piece that she said, oh, this was so great. Because guess what? What I just said is one of those things. She says we can come to agreement because not every time you can come to an understanding. And that comes with disagreement with your spouse. I thought that was powerful. We can come to agreement when you can't come to an understanding. And I'll be honest with you, some people really struggle with, I don't understand. And I ask, when dealing with the four agreements, you know, one of the agreements, to go back to what I said about delegation and perfection, one of the four agreements is always do your best. That's why the four agreements are always great for any kind of conflict that may come about. So this one, as it relates to come to agreement when you can't come to an understanding, goes with, don't make assumptions. Ask questions. You might not agree with the conclusion the other person comes up with, but you can agree they came to the conclusion that you don't agree with. See, the problem comes in when you don't talk and they don't talk, and then you make assumptions. So you still need to communicate. That's the key. All these things that I say is all for your advancement. That's why we're here in the garden to grow. Yes, we celebrate, but my whole point is to help you grow, to help you reach your desired destination. And so glad to be able to share these two women and what they have planted seeds in my life in this 1 week, right? And I would say that was less than 7 days. So that is great. Well, I'm starting off March on the right path. I want to give a shout out to Aisha Foy, the author of the book, Success is My Major. It is a fantastic book, and the reason why I can speak to this wholeheartedly is when I say I digested this, I took my time. I got notes all in her book. I got page turn. I got stickers in here. You know, I even wrote in the book. I can't help it. So yeah, I can't give my copy to anybody. But it is a professional development book like none other. So this girl is not even 30 years old, and she sounds like John Maxwell. Some of the great books that are out there now, she quotes in here. One of them is called Atomic Habits. It's just amazing that this young person has such a maturity as it relates to leadership, and the reason why she was intentional about growing her mind. Beyond her peers, let's just be honest, beyond her peers. And she's actually on the staff of University of Kentucky as director of recruiting. And she wrote a book. Now, how many folks in this business do you know wrote a book? Yeah. This is someone you need to have on your bookshelf, but for yourself. And I am encouraging you to buy it for your young people, because the subtitle is Start Entitled, Lead Unforgettable. And let's be honest, you know, student athletes who come to our college campuses have usually been stars from where they came from. And they have a hard time dealing with their identity being changed and having to start all over again. They appear to be uncoachable, but it's just that they just have no idea. It's like anything, when you dealing with growth is uncomfortable and you don't know that you're acting out, they usually act out. But somehow or another, the part of growing herself to be one to be a better teammate, which is why she says lead unforgettable. And I'm telling you, this girl left an impression on me. She is not even 30 years old, and she definitely is not entitled. She's hungry to keep learning, y'all. I can see another book coming. But I am purchasing this book for my next speaking engagement for high school leaders. And, again, this book is, you know, she's an athlete, but she's a leader. A former athlete, but she's a leader. And so I'm speaking to the middle school kids in a program, I think it's 25 of them, in my hometown of Sussex County, Virginia, a two-part series. And so I am going to gift them this book as a part of my speaking engagement. So if I'm going to purchase it, that must mean I really believe in it, and I really do. So you need to purchase the book. You can go get your copy at successmajor.com. Successmajor.com. Meet the Contributors returns tonight, March 2nd at 6 p.m. And when I say Meet the Contributors to what? I'm glad you asked. It is the Significance in Athletics and Sports magazine. Yeah, so we're rounding out our last contributor to the second issue. Her name is Janelle Saunders. She is currently the account executive ticket sales for Washington Mystics and Capital City Go-Go. If you are listening to Chat in the Garden often, you heard me say that I'm waiting for her to not have a Wednesday that she's working, and I could not remember what it was, the other sporting entity that she's had, and that is the Capital City Go-Go is what I could not remember. So we're going to talk about that tonight at 6 p.m. And full disclosure, she is my client in the part of the Advanced Academy. And when she wrote for the magazine, she did not have this position. But writing in this magazine, contributing to this magazine, investing in this magazine helped her land this position. So you got to join us tonight on Facebook Live with Emmy Chatner Garden to find out how their contributing to the magazine led to her getting a full-time position as an account executive with the Washington Mystics. And so, and I'm really excited because she, you know, texted from here and there, and she just celebrated a milestone of her highest sale. And I can't wait to elaborate on it. She sent me a text. I didn't get a chance to talk to her. So, meet me tonight, 6 p.m. inside the Chatner Garden. And if you would like to get the latest in significance in athletics and sports before the physical copy hits Amazon, it's now available. The PDF of the third issue of significance in athletics and sports is available in our store. So go to payhip.com /seasonofempowerment and look for the third issue digital version. And that's where you will find it. It's time to take control of your health by getting more fruits and vegetables into your body and bridge the gap between what you eat and what you should eat. For more information on how to get on track, contact Jolie Robinson at Stepping to Win at 980-298-2231. Again, that's 980-298-2231. Or email her at jrobinson@stepping2win.com. Again, Stepping to Win, Stepping and the number 2, win.com. And lastly, I have my last resource for you, which I just need to shout her out. She will be recognized by University of Mississippi. I think it's Ole Miss. Yeah, she's a former athlete of Ole Miss. And she is being recognized as 40 under 40. And she's been asked to be the keynote for graduation. So our media partner is blowing up, and soon she'll be Dr. Tawana Smith, okay? I'm excited about that. But you need to get her book, Surviving the Light, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoiding the Curse. And I think this is a real good baseline for you. Because now our student athletes can earn money without being professional. But there's some, honestly, there's some horror stories that you need to be aware of so that you can at least plant that seed with your student athletes about how to select the people on their team, meaning their accountants, their lawyers, that do contracts, meaning and to protect them from the IRS, all those type of things. And the NCAA does consider publicity individuals as a part of the agent. So, hey, get in the know. Do not have your head in the sand. I learned a lot when I first read this book that I did not realize that although these young people, that we're all excited about what happens at the combine and the draft, but they don't really get paid until the game happens. And guess what? Even though you can be drafted by the time the season starts, you cannot be, may not be on the team. And so because you drafted and had a party and that's great, you bought a house, you out back. And here's another thing I thought was very interesting. That sometimes these entities will purchase things, you know, in the name of the athlete's foundation or whatever, and or just the company that they have, and they get their money, you know, when the athlete is paid. But when the athlete's no longer playing and wants to become a normal citizen, they don't have any credit because nothing was ever in their name. Isn't that something? So, again, I learned a lot. So you need to get on board and surviving the lights of professional athletes playbook to avoid the curse by Tawana Smith is available in three formats, audio, paperback, and digital, all on Amazon. So just type in Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse. And now I am excited to bring one of my most engaged individuals in the group and glad to bring her to the garden because honestly she's most deserving to have her story known. And I'm glad that she finds value inside the garden. And so let us meet Ray Campbell, LSU, from LSU Tiger Athletics Foundation. Welcome to the garden, Ray.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I am too. I hope you can hear my smile.
Oh, yeah, I most certainly can. And, you know, I'm in a jubilant spirit. We just wrapped up Mardi Gras down here, so let's do the party.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Hopefully you are all facets are with me. I see y'all been having a great time down there. So
phenomenal.
So let's tell our audience, because you got live experience, so don't jump over anything. Tell us your career path from college, your current position.
So currently, right now, I'm on the premium team staff at LSU. I'm serving as a fleet manager. I'm a Swiss Army knife, so sometimes you might see me as a fleet manager. Sometimes you might see me as a manager on duty. Sometimes you might even see me in the ticket office because, you know, my skill sets over the years that I've accumulated have served me well. I've been able to put out a brand that puts me in different organizations and put me in different staff because I have a intel, a knowledge base. And just so blessed to have that. And a lot of that started with my experience in HBCUs. Because you, above all people, know what HBCUs do. They prepare you.
Mm-hmm.
They will re-equip you because you have to do everything with a limited amount of resources. So my journey started off at Grambling State. I was a first-generation college graduate. And the theme of my story is just faith and believing that I was limitless. And with that going on, I decided to, you know, take a walk out on faith and be a first-generation college graduate. And I didn't know it was going to be a thing. Had no idea. But, you know, Grandma State, where everybody is, somebody made that happen. And I'm just eternally grateful for everyone there. That athletic department took me in. That I wouldn't be who I am without that athletic department and that institution. You know, and I'm not just being modest about that. I'm not just saying that to say it. And, you know, I'm so thankful. Because I had a coach named Demetra Keith Johnson see something in me and say, look, I know you want to be, you know, in sports and you're here with me now, but that's not serving you. I see something better for you, ready for you. So I talked to the people in the athletic staff and I let them know who you were, what you were trying to do and see if we can grow you. So that led with me being introduced to, at the time, Aaron Dane, which was our AD. And he said, you know, you can have anything you want in here. You know, everything's a resource, everything's accessible, everyone is accessible, but you have to show up and do the work. That's all we ever ask you. You know, you can't do, pick and choose what you want to do. You can't say no. You have to be open-minded. You want to be limitless, and we want you to reach all type of limits and potential because we need it and you need it, and that's how, you know, we feel like you'll grow. That's how the department will grow. And they meant that. They took me on the road. They gave me opportunities to be in sports information. They gave me opportunities to be in a ticket office. They gave me opportunities to be in broadcasting. And I did everything so well that I was able to continue to build across every other profession in sports. I've done everything probably from minor league baseball to the NFL to Team USA, and it's all because of my foundation at an HBCU. So, you know, they always tell you HBCUs don't equip you. That's not necessarily the case. You know, I wouldn't be where I am without the insights and the intel of what my HBCU taught me. And I took all of those tools and expounded on them. You know, grandma taught me that you can always learn something, but there is more room for you to grow and unlearn and grow something else. It's called rumination. It's called reflection. So I have to reflect on a lot of things to expound on more. And from there, I was granted a lot of internship opportunities because of the skills and the knowledge I was able to pick up. And I interned every year in a professional sports setting from my freshman year to senior. And that's how I walked into a position with the New Orleans Pelicans and Saints. And from the New Orleans Pelicans and Saints, I went to the New Orleans Baby Cakes. It was formerly the New Orleans Zephyrs. Started off as an intern, then I went to staff. And then from there, I started off being in the PGA, which is the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Being a junior board member, started off as an intern, got elevated to be a junior board member. And then ultimately, those connections there led me to TAF, the Louisiana State University and Tiger Athletic Foundation. And here we are.
Girl, I don't know what speed you on. I called it all, but I feel like my heart is racing. So,
he raced, I'm sorry. Peter Gonzalez.
Okay, yeah. Slow it down for me, girl. Lower. Okay, so I was in the process of writing internship every year while in college, and by the time I finished writing, I didn't get the word college in. You had already finished talking, so I need you to just back that up a little bit. After you graduated, where was the first place you went?
So I graduated from Grambling State with a undergraduate. My undergraduate degree was at Grambling State with sports management.
Okay. Because, see, again, this podcast is for the young people trying to figure out what do I do next. So what I gathered first was that you did an internship every year while you were in college. And which internship helped you with the first job straight out of college?
Straight out of college, I would have to say my time with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. Oh, that's good. What you do with them?
Training camp operations. I had the privilege of serving under Andy Reid's staff, who are now previously Super Bowl champions.
How did you get that?
So I starting off as an intern with Grambling State in the Sports Radio Network, I was a part of the production team. So the team went to play in Kansas City, and, you know, I – just was going around introducing myself to people, and they wanted to know my story and how I got involved with the Grambling Sports Radio Network. And one of the broadcasters realized that not only was I working at Grambling in football and sports, and I knew what I was talking about, I had a great detail about football, and I knew how football works. I knew the operations of it. So he said, I'll tell you what, Coach Reed just settled in. His staff is getting here. Let me introduce you to Jeremy Slavin, who's overseeing training camp operations, and make sure you get on his staff. And the rest was history. I spent at least two summers with the Chiefs.
And what did you do?
So I was over training camp operations, and that was starting at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, setting up tables, booths, all the equipment, fan engagement. It was very people-facing. So you had to have a demeanor to yourself. You had to be informed, very customer service-related. And a lot of people don't like customer service, and that's why I said, you know, my time with the Chiefs contributed with me learning what customer service was and how to interact it and how to lead and amplify with it. I think one of my core values is being a people person and being intentional, being relational, and that's what served me throughout my career.
So let's talk about customer service. You said many people don't like it, and I think I do well with it, like, you know, people – and, you know, mentoring. But when it comes to money and people, I'm usually, like, cut dry, you know. I was like that even talking about sponsorship. I'm like, this is what you pay for. This is what you get. And I always seem like people want more than what they get. Now, I was young. I didn't realize it was a nurturing situation. But for somebody who was like me, what are some things that you would tell them? Tell me why you like customer service, and what are some great stories that came out of your best customer service story?
So I love God, I love people, and I love myself. So you have to want to know his people in order to serve them, you know, and that's what I had to learn about leadership and you lead people through how you see their life and how you see their world and how you get to know them. So customer service to me, first and foremost, is listening, being authentic, and knowing who you're serving. Because I can't serve you if I don't, you know who you are. I can't lead you if I don't know who you are at your core. So the best way for me to get you where you have to be, make sure you buy this season ticket package for me, make sure you're happy in your suite, make sure you're happy as a head coach, is to know who you are at your core so I can best serve you. And a lot of times people don't listen. You have to listen, truly listen to someone to understand what they really need. And a lot of times in business, people don't practice kindness or candor. So they already, like you said, are just cut and dry. You don't ever have any fluff. You don't ever have any intentionality because you're just so quick to get to the point and move on to the next dollar amount, move on to the next deal, and move on to the next time. And kindness is business. Kindness amplifies anything you do, and it's a big return on investment when you implement it. I can tell you a story where I was so nice to a season ticket holder once, and I didn't realize it was something very, very small that I thought in my mind I did. I saw her son having an issue. He was so upset trying to get him through the door and get his ball signed, and she said, he doesn't know it, but I missed the autograph session, you know, and I'm just telling him to get along so I can get in the door, but I have to pay the season ticket package, and we can't get in here until I pay you. So I said, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to give this to my intern. Let him run the credit card for you because he can do that. I give him the authority to do that. And let your son come with me, and I'll work it out while he's getting done. So you stay here. I'll get the ball signed. Just tell him come meet Miss Raven around the corner, and we'll get it done. She said, you'll do that for me? And I said, absolutely. And she was like, why? I said, because I heard your story, and you've been serving us for how many years? You've been a season ticket holder for just as long as this franchise has been around? I can do that for you. This is time I can do that for you. I kid you not. I didn't know her husband was a doctor, and he owned a practice, and he came in and bought so many suites from year after year, no matter where I was. Mm. Just because I did that one small thing of kindness for her. One small thing. And that was the biggest return investment I could have never imagined just by doing something very small, in my opinion. Mm. And a lot of times, it's just things like that, doing things that help people get by in their day, asking people how they're feeling, asking people how can I serve, and really meaning it, letting them see it in your face, it matters. It always matters.
I'm going to try to pay attention because I'm just trying to check my to-do list off. I'll just be honest with you. I mean, unless I'm dealing with, again, like, you know, my mentoring and my business, but my experience with AAU basketball is just a little different. But I'm going to work on it. I'm going to be taught by you, Ray, okay?
Oh, I'm still learning, so we're gonna learn together.
Oh, boy. So I see you have professional and college experience. Is there any difference between the customer service and college and professional?
It is. So I was so fortunate that I had the opportunity to start early in my career. So I started at 19 doing this. I'm still in my 20s. I'm in my late 20s. So now I know that customer service is just bottom line driven in professional sports. Is, you know, you get to have your fan interactions through events, special events, and, you know, little things we do on the side to increase the marketing and things like that. But for me, given the opportunity to serve in college, I know that it's more that I get to be a humanitarian. I get to be a philanthropist. I get to be so much more in that space in college. And I feel like the umbrella for serving is so much bigger in college for me, especially with the way college athletics is changing. You know, we have NIL. We have DEI, and I like to add the B on it to, you know, consummate it all in belonging. And I get to use all these tools to serve student athletes, to serve my coaches, to serve my senior staff, because I've been an all-around jack of trades or a jill of trades, so to speak. And, you know, like I said, you just get to take that skill of listening and amplifying. You know, so I like to always come in into learning a space, implement, and then optimize because I take my core of customer service and listen to build. So I know a lot of people like to say, you know, you're still in the NBA, you're still in the NFL. Why you hadn't made the whole transition? Oh, I have. I think my end all and be all is college athletics. I'm still growing in that space because I spent so many years in the NBA and in the NFL. But, you know, I think my end-all and be-all is to be in college athletics. And I don't say I want to be an AD anymore because I don't want to limit myself. And like I told you before in the beginning of the conversation, I want to be limitless. If my path allows me and blesses me to be in an AD seat, phenomenal. But if it doesn't, I want to be able to wake up and say every day I'm serving, I'm loving my people, I'm leading, and I'm being purposeful.
Well, Ray, I will say, I never said I wanted to be athletic director. I never said I wanted to be associate commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
I did say I wanted to be a consultant back in 2003, and I am that. But I did say I want to lead people. And so I think if you have the part about I want to serve people, then if the opportunity comes up, you'll be able to see if they align to what are your guiding principles. And because I became athletic director based on default. Almost every position I've gotten because I prepared myself to be a better leader, and then the need presented itself, and I moved into that. So I wouldn't say limiting yourself. I would say, you know, that if the opportunity presents itself, you can see if you're aligned about where you are in your journey at that time. You know what I mean?
Right. Absolutely.
Because I don't want to hear you say, I don't want to be an AD anymore. You don't know. I mean, you're not even 30 yet. And I mean, I was athletic director at 28, but again, it was by default. And I just solved issues. I put out fires. I read and figured out things. Mm-hmm. And we went through 5 different athletic directors. And it was, and the president was like, okay, can you, you know, I want you to take the reins with this. And I was like, huh? And I didn't think I was ready. But then I told the story over and over again. Then the bomb went off in Atlanta, and I was like, okay, life is short. I'll go ahead and learn on the job like anybody else would. I'll just be clear, as a man would. And because they don't even look at the qualifications. They're like, okay, yeah, I'm going to shoot my shot. And but we want to be, again, that perfectionist. I just told a young lady the other day, it was somebody that contacted me on the professional level. A professional football team is looking for a business person, an accounting person. And first I had to be clear, are you mean accountant meaning sales or accounting dealing with numbers and money? And so she made it clear it was like money and whatnot. And so other person said to me, yeah, but I really do budgeting. And I was like, look, I know you can do this, so apply for this. And I'm excited to hear, you know, even going through the process, I think will help her grow. But you need to grow the mindset. So let's not cut off any blood flow to the brain, okay?
Right.
So right now we're going to take a short break here in the chat in the garden and pay some bills. And when we return, we'll continue talking to Ms. Ray Campbell.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.
What's good, family? My name is Aisha Ford, former student athlete and author of the book Success is My Major. Now, when I was a student athlete, I went on a mission to maximize my college experience and prepare for the real world by studying successful people. And I lay out everything that I learned in my new book, Success is My Major. Everything from leadership development, character development, understanding how to transfer the skills that I learned on the court, and how to use those in the real world. If you would like to learn more about the book, please visit successmajorbook.com or email me at aisha@successismymajor.com.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Monique A.J. Smith, here in the chat regarding West Virginia Blooms and Athletics and Sports. Well, Ms. Ray, I got a couple of questions for you. How important is mentoring to you? Who do you mentor, and how do you keep yourself motivated in this industry? And what advice would you give to other women of color in the industry?
Ooh, that's loaded. As far as mentoring goes, I think the most important quality in a mentor, teacher, or coach is not how much they know, it's how much they care. And, you know, caring is more than taking part in anyone's success or my success. It's feeling joy as you progress. So oftentimes when I take on younger colleagues or when I meet people that's trying to break into the industry, I let them know first and foremost that I care and I ask that they trust me. Because you can't lead anyone, you can't help anyone, you can't love anyone if you don't. They first and foremost don't trust you and you don't trust them. So I try to establish rapport, you know, and I try to establish goals and cadence and then move on from there. And as far as, you know, growing, I don't want to say that I come in with knowing everything. A lot of people look at my resume and assume I know a lot. I know what's on the paper. You know, I don't know a lot just because I've been in these certain places, because sports is wide. You know, there are a lot of aspects of sports I haven't even touched. I don't know anything about academics. I don't know that much about compliance. But, you know, I can offer my network. I can always offer resources, and I can always point people in the right direction. And that's what I think when you're a laborer, you're often entitled to be a leader, because you have to do the work. And that's the first thing I always try to tell people. You have to do the work in every aspect of any profession in order to be a leader and ultimately, you know, let people be vulnerable. So I think that's one of the core principles of leadership, is being vulnerable. And I like to let people know, acronym about love. And for me, is letting other people be vulnerable effortlessly. I need my leader to let me be vulnerable so they can meet me where I am and hopefully grow me to where I need to be. And I need to mentor people that way and letting them know that you're fine with how you are, and I hope I can get you where you need to be. And that's what that means to me.
What about the last part about advice for women of color in the industry?
Advice for women of color in the industry. Practice cracking a smile. You know, a lot of times I hear that in the industry, you are, and I've even been told myself, that you're unapproachable. And when I ask, why am I so unapproachable? You don't smile enough. And it's like, well, I was just smiling and laughing with you, and they were like, when you're working, you know, it's kind of intimidating. You already come in with a presence. You already come in with the know-how. And, you know, my new spiritual practice is cracking a smile, you know. And oftentimes just let people know that you're in that corner and that you care and that you and you don't have an assumption. I know you and I talked early in my career, and you told me I was angry. And I probably was, because I was internalizing so much, and I was taking on so many things that, you know, was heavy. And I was in myself and in my head all the time, and I'm working and I'm always grinding, and that's what we do as black women. You know, we put on heavy things, and because we have the shoulders firm and we have the built, and that's what we do, a Renaissance woman. But oftentimes, cracking a smile, meditating, reassuring, reflecting gets us out of those things and understanding why are we doing it and what are we doing and having joy. So that's why I say we have to have joy in these things. We have to find joy. We have to make sure that we're purposeful in what we do. And that's what leads to growth, you know, and that's what leads to intentionality, and that's what leads with love. That's what letting people being vulnerable effortlessly does for you. It gives you a chance to grow. And, you know, because a leader decided to tell me, you know, I think one of the biggest things that's going to set you back in your career is that you don't smile enough. It was phenomenal for me. Talking to you about assumptions and the four agreements catapulted me. It catapulted me tremendously, you know. And it was just as simple as practicing a spiritual practice of smiling. And smiling is free. Smiling is effortlessly. And every morning, like you said, you sit with Mary J. Blige and you get hyped. I had to sit and spiritually prepare myself to take on a day. Because how can you serve people if you're not serving yourself? I had to sit and prepare myself on how to fuel myself throughout the day. And sometimes that starts with reflecting on leadership. I had someone challenge me to read the whole book of Matthew and understand what that is. If you can't practice the image of Christ, the ultimate leader, of feet washing, because that's what I call it now, feet washing, because you're getting dirty with people. You're submitting. You're taking yourself back. How can you serve them? You know, a lot of times we're programmed to think that servitude is being in front, taking up the most airtime, which is kind of true. But if you don't know what you're talking and you're not authentic, and if you're putting up a facade, who does that serve? So I don't want to say I'm smiling just a smile. I want to be reflective. I want to be intuitive and say I'm smiling because I have this joy, because I'm going to let it be my light and shine, and hopefully it influences others. So I think us as black women have to find that happy place, find that medium, and take care of ourselves first and foremost in order to do that.
Great. That was deep. Man.
You of all people know I had to dig. You met me at a point in my life when I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, and that was just out of one little strategy session. Wow. See, this is why I love what I do. But feet washing, that's some good stuff, because I was about to share something else with you. I've been teaching from this book in the Advanced Academy, Rookie Smart. And when you said, I don't know a lot of things, and actually for times such as this, you had a real good time, because nobody knows anything, to be honest with you. You know, there's no certainty of anything. Everybody must have a sponge mentality. They must have a curious mentality of showing me how you do that and how can we do this better. And so when I'm teaching from this book called Rookie Smart, one of the things that I've done is try to take people back to when they were the rookie year, their first time working, and their mindset. Mm-hmm. So just like, you know, you say you might not know everything, you in a curious mode and you will ask questions. See, what happens is like the veteran doesn't ask questions because they think they already know, and they don't have the patience. Or okay, let's just be honest, the ego to let go, to let someone know that I may not know this, and look upon asking questions. And so that is, the book just grabbed me, you hear me? Because we had, during the pandemic, we had connections with a person, an executive search firm. And what they were saying, that what people were looking for were for leaders who had the flexibility, who, I guess, weren't rigid, and open-mindedness, and just be ready to explore. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that says, take yourself back to your rookie year,
What were you nervous about? What didn't you worry about? What were you hopeful about? What would you see the others couldn't? So that's the key. Mm-hmm. When you don't know everything, your eyes are wide open, and then you can see opportunities. To, especially if you're in customer service, you understand the customer journey more so than the person who's a veteran and sitting behind the desk and making sure we're within the budget. And if you can see the pain point of the customer much better, that you can suggest something, especially during this COVID time, you know, how to enhance the situation. So I would say embrace that piece, because when we become a know-it-all, we're not able to serve because we're not listening, as you say. See? So you're in a good place, my dear.
I hope I am. I'm just looking forward to getting better every day. I just can't sit here and say, you know, I've arrived. And that's what I meant about limiting myself. I don't want to say, oh, I've done this and I've done it and I've arrived and I'm done. No, and that's what I mean about limiting myself. You know, some people feel like that.
Yeah,
well, you've done this,
yeah.
this, and this. Just stay there. No, I don't want to do that. You know, I have to keep exploring, like you said. I have to keep knowing the why, and I have to keep figuring out, is this really where I belong? Is this really me being purposeful? And, you know, in learning all of that, you know, I just learned that I'll always be greater than the sum of everything I've overcome. You know, and a lot of people don't understand that. I know there's greater to come. But like you said before, we have to be ready for certain things. We have to keep preparing. And I think, you know, being stagnant is a thief. And a lot of people don't like to admit failure. I've learned in this journey. A lot of times when I get to talk to millionaires and I get to talk to business owners and CEOs and COOs, and they ask me if I want to ask them questions, I often ask them, you know, tell me about the time you failed, and they get wide-eyed. You know, they don't want to talk about when they failed, or they don't want to reflect on when they failed or why they failed. And I'm like, well, that's serving. That's helping, because now I know not to make those same mistakes. And then they'll let their guard down. And that's oftentimes in customer service. I can't serve you unless I know, you know, what's ailing you. You know, they come to the window all mad and upset, or they come to you in a mood, and you just have to learn how to disarm people and let them know you're in game. And that's a lot of times, you know, what people already believe come packaged a certain way, always have a perception. And oftentimes I learn in customer services is always just lowering your perception, you know, being humble at all stages. You have to be humble, you know, and one of my favorite stories and one of my favorite, you know, fairy tales of Cinderella. Cinderella was so humble, and the whole time Cinderella was a princess. You know, she took on so many things, and God is going to give us a lot of bad things, a lot of meals, so we have to learn endurance. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Even King Richard, the Will Smith, the first movie he showed his girls when they were learning to humble themselves and be on their journey and be tennis players, he showed them Cinderella. And he asked them, you know, what did you learn? And he made them watch. He said, oh, we'll watch it again until you figure it out. And then oftentimes we have to just go back over life and figure it out again, and figure out that we have to be humble, and we have to do our time, and we have to serve in order to be where we need to go. We have to be equipped. And I had a coach teach me that. He told me one time, you keep repeating experiences, and you keep becoming angry because you're not, you use mediocre tactics to adult situations, grown situations. You have to grow. You have to equip. You have to humble yourself. So I think that, you know, that's a nod to a lot of what you were saying about, you know, having ego and assuming we know these things and don't want to learn and don't want to unlearn. And everybody has to hard reset. Everyone. Everyone I ever talked to, at the end of their failure, speeches or pitches, you know, they wish that they got out of their own way early, in their 20s, in their 30s. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we're always our own worst enemy.
Well, the book you all is called Rookie Smarts. And so hopefully, and honestly, you know, you might have been very successful in how you used to do it. But again, we have, as we continue to say, our normal has expanded to mean different things. And so what used to work may not work. You know, many people are going, just in tournament time, and many people used to love the souvenir type programs, tickets. Well, we're not there anymore. And it's hard to
to change. It's hard to change adults or any tricks. It's hard. But, you know, if you want to keep on being able to walk, we got to go ahead and learn those new tricks. And so I want to thank you, Ray, for being with me today and helping me to remember that we need to listen and we need to do some foot washing to stay humble. I want to thank Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for being my eyes and ears today. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. And have a significant rest of the day.
Thank you.